Hi, welcome to this week's audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Ballman. This week's Gay USA was recorded in New York City on July 19th, 2017. I want to remind you about our website, gayusatv.org. That's gayusatv.org. You can find out more about the show. You can watch the video of our show each week there, as well as see bios for Ann, Andy, myself, and Chris Cooper, and the history of our show. So that's gayusatv.org. So here's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum with this week's LGBT News. Enjoy.
And we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And we start with some good and surprising news. We scored a rare victory in Congress this past week, narrowly defeating a hostile amendment to ban medical services for transgender people in the military. But the anti-LGBT forces in the House are not giving up.
And I suppose it's also a victory to say the Republican effort to slash Medicaid and repeal Obamacare has been stalled by grassroots activists from coast to coast.
Absolutely. President Trump welcomes the nation's most extreme anti-LGBT religious zealots to the Oval Office, where they lay hands on him. And we're not stopped by the Secret Service.
It's quite a picture. The text of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' speech to the anti-LGBT hate group Alliance Defending Freedom is cause for alarm. Last week we didn't have the text, now we do.
An actor has come out as transgender, a college football player as gay.
Turning to international news, Malta celebrates marriage equality.
Seoul, South Korea had its biggest pride celebration yet, and it was in the rain.
Bad news. A leading gay activist in Honduras has been beaten in his own home.
But they're not getting up there.
Severely.
They had their pride celebration, too.
In a different city there,
right,
yes.
Right. And we're going to review Stephen Sondheim's Assassins at Encores Off Center.
It's a little late to review Assassins, but
it's gone, but maybe it'll come back. We hope it does.
I mean, it's an old play, well, but it was revived.
I had never seen it.
I loved it.
Good.
All right, but we start with the Trump administration and Congress. Vicki Hartzler, a right-wing Republican congresswoman from Missouri,
correct,
had offered a bill in Congress to forbid, probably an amendment to something, or maybe freestanding.
It's an amendment to the Defense Authorization Act. There were 100 amendments that were voted on.
Yeah, so she wanted to ban. You know, the right wing has succeeded in convincing the Department of Defense to delay a little, letting new transgender recruits into the military.
But the ones who are there are already out, are allowed to be open.
Right. So Vicki Hartzler, who would like to get rid of them too, but couldn't get enough support for that idea, instead submitted this proposal to bar the military from paying for any medical care for transgender troops, hormones, surgery, whatever. And we were scared of this because, of course, we don't think the Congress likes transgender people.
Congressman Steve King said, with this opening this up to transgender, they're all just going to line up to join the military now to get that, to get cheap medical procedures and transition surgery.
Yes. So who's the hero in this? Defense Secretary General Mattis.
Mad Dog Mattis.
Who actually worked the phones with Congress, something that luckily Trump has not figured out how to do yet, and succeeded in sending this proposal down to defeat.
Well, so we were kind of amazed because we figured once they allowed it on the floor, they meant to pass it. I think Speaker Ryan meant to pass it, but it was defeated by a vote of 214 to 209. It was close, but that required the votes of every Democrat and 24 Republicans, and that's an enormously encouraging thing and a small victory amidst all the chaos we're going through.
Well, given how divided the Congress has become and how hard it is to get people to cross the aisle, as they say, it really is astonishing. I think we had the vote on last week's show. We had just gotten the news on that. But the fact that the defense secretary worked so hard to get this defeated is really the new information.
So Speaker Ryan was confronted about this by the Washington Blade, and he said, oh, I'm coordinating with the Defense Department on this. Lie. That's a lie. That was a lie. You're not supposed to tell lies. Well, I guess now that the president does it, anybody can do it.
If we're going to start talking about lies, we need a chalkboard here to just keep track.
The New York Times did a full page in small print of all of Trump's lies since he's been just since the inauguration. But then he also said the amendment was part of an open process. And the fact is that he denied the opportunity for two pro-LGBT amendments to be voted on in this thing. So liar, liar, pants on fire.
So Representatives Hartzler and Steve King of Iowa have a new proposal. They have introduced a bill to forbid the government from interpreting rules against sex discrimination to include sexual orientation discrimination or gender identity discrimination.
I think it might just be gender identity in this case, but
I don't think they can get away with that.
But
the courts have ruled.
It's the Civil Rights Uniformity Act of 2017.
There's a lot of debate in the LGBT community about how much to work on this because people say, oh, this doesn't stand a chance, and if we start talking about it, that's only going to elevate it, and really our strategy should be to stay quiet and just let it go away.
And wait for the courts to protect us? I mean, I'm worried that a lot of the things that we've won in the courts over the last 30 years are going to be taken away under
Absolutely.
The new regime. I do want to mention before we move on one other amendment that was killed during this whole parade of amendments. That there was one to call climate change a direct threat to national security. They wanted that removed. The right wing wanted that removed. And that got 46 Republican votes to say, no, don't take that out. We want the Defense Department to be able to assess that. So that was a 185 to 234 vote. So that's encouraging. I mean, that there are 46 non-climate deniers among the Republicans.
I think it's encouraging that we are so far, all fingers crossed, beating back these horrible health care proposals. You know, the Affordable Care Act has non-discrimination proposals.
Provisions,
thank you. In it that include sexual orientation and gender identity. If we repeal the Obama Affordable Care Act, those go away in the healthcare field.
Well, as long as religious people have the right not to operate on you when you come into the emergency room. And we'll get to that more later. I guess the other enormous story, and of course everybody's been talking about it, is that the GOP Medicaid slashing bill was stopped. And they weren't able to bring it forward on any level. And it required, again, four Republicans to stand up to it for different reasons, of course. Some of them wanted to make it worse. So I wouldn't exhale because the House defeated their bill originally and then passed it. Something still can happen. And the other thing is, you're talking about, we're beating back legislation, and it is being done through grassroots effort across the country, especially all those people in wheelchairs down across the country in the halls of the offices of these people.
People going to town hall meetings locally,
yes.
People getting arrested in the halls of Congress. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Of course, everybody has heard the president say he wants Obamacare to fail, and he can order, essentially, HHS to do whatever they can to make it fail.
Well, they are already, and they're considering things like not enforcing provisions of the Affordable Care Act and letting it go down to ruin, although it's in a lot better shape than they would like to think, by just not enforcing it and not providing funding, not providing things that are mandated in it because they don't want to, and just sabotaging it and ruining it, burning it down that way. It's, you know, it is what's happening across the government. The Environmental Protection Agency under Scott Pruitt is rescinding all the protective laws and bringing back dangerous pollution in water and air and everywhere. They're just undermining everything, literally.
Yes.
And this is happening in every department across the government. And just another small example this week, the Census Bureau had been asked by actual Trump-era departments of the government.
Four of them.
Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Justice, the EPA, and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, to include LGBT questions on the census. Those departments asked the Census Bureau for it, and the Census Bureau said, no, we don't need that data.
You know, the people who were asking, of course, there are a lot of embedded homosexuals in the government. And of course,
who haven't told the secretaries they're asking
for. If we could bring back Joe McCarthy and root them out. Of course, he, of course, had his own
predilections. Well, any day now, I'm sure. Well, if it's up to Jeff Sessions, perhaps that will happen.
Well, so we told you about, again, we told you about this last week, that he gave this speech to Alliance Defending Freedom, which is this right-wing legal group. And then all these Freedom of Information requests came in and said, what did you say?
Because it was a closed-door speech with no reporters allowed to be present, but, and they weren't originally releasing the text.
But they did release it, or somebody from the right-wing groups put it up because they're so proud of it.
The Federalist Society.
Yes, and you know, of course, when he was hiding it, Stephen Colbert said, come on, a closed-door speech, it's 2017, it's okay to come out. Let your hate flag fly, you're here, you fear, you're
we're used to it.
Yes, that was good.
So anyway, we saw the transcript of the speech, and it was all about defending religious liberty.
Not
so
just that.
So-called religious liberty.
Defending the Western heritage of faith and reason. The Western heritage of faith and reason.
He launched it. You know, Sessions has repeatedly said things about wanting a theocratic society, wanting the rule of biblical law, not secular law.
Right.
And he said in this speech that morality requires religion. You cannot be a moral person unless you have a religious foundation to that.
And the action that
by that, I don't think he means Islam.
Oh, no. And we'll get to more of that later.
Yeah.
But they are planning an upcoming guidance on this for the nation.
Well, this is Trump's executive order that he signed, and part of that, and Sessions is following through and telling the ADF that, yes, we're about to release the guidelines Trump mandated on how to apply federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act principles to all their work.
Right. And the phrase he's using is the right to exercise your faith in the public square. Now, everybody has a right to believe what they want to believe, but not everybody has a right to, you know, take over the public square, act in the civil realm on their religious beliefs. Otherwise, we're in a lot of trouble because there are a lot of things in the Bible that I do not want enforced in the public square.
Well, and saying practice that in the public square is code for public accommodations, businesses, government offices, whatever, to be able to claim a religious freedom exemption for any kind of behavior they want.
Right.
Which is why also the florist in Washington State, Baronel Stutzman, who refused to supply flowers or got into a fight with a same-sex couple who were getting married about supplying flowers for their wedding, and who has lost court cases all the way up the line, now has asked to be added to the Supreme Court case hearing the Masterpiece Bakery Cake Shop case.
The story that she has constructed is, I've dealt with this customer before, I like him, I sell him flowers all the time. I was willing to sell him flowers for this event. I just wasn't willing to sign a contract that said I had to go to the, sign the wedding contract where you go to the church, you arrange the flowers, you're part of the service, you stay throughout the service. It, you know, in terms of debating this publicly, it makes it tougher to argue.
Well, I don't think being at the church to supervise the freshness of the flowers is necessary being part of the service. I think that's just performing a job.
I don't think Justice Gorsuch is going to buy your arguments.
No, but...
Well, she was fined $1,000, but so she wants to be a part of all this, and I'm worried about it.
I'm worried about the two new federal judges Trump has appointed. Not to the Supreme Court, but to courts of appeals or district courts, federal courts. These are two guys who support reinstatement of the sodomy law, have consistently condemned same-sex marriage, think anti-bullying procedures in schools are propagandistic.
They've used very anti-gay language in their writings, and including their personal writings. They're just bigots.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to make a stand on that, but it moved out of committee, I believe, out of the Judiciary Committee. I think one of them, at least, Bush did, John Bush. Bush is nominated for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. And Schiff is nominated to the U.S. Court of Federal Claims.
Bad news.
Schiff even opposes anti-bullying policies. But then again, so did Mike Bloomberg, our mayor.
So where is all this coming from? I think it's time to show the Oval Office pictures of our president meeting with 25 religious leaders who laid hands on him to pray with him.
A who's who of anti-LGBT bigots in this country. Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council, Pastor John Hagee, Michelle Bachmann, Ralph Reed, Gary Bauer, who used to work in the White House for George Bush. As his domestic policy advisor, no Jews, no Muslims, that's for sure. Look at them,
this is the Oval Office, folks. This is what's happening now with your government.
The last time somebody knelt in prayer in the Oval Office, it was Richard Nixon with Henry Kissinger when he was just about to be impeached, and he resigned.
Was that in the Oval Office?
Well...
It was in
the White House. They might have used another room.
Yeah, but we're going to be saved because Caitlyn Jenner has had a big meeting with Nikki Haley, the UN ambassador.
Yes.
Caitlyn says she's been trying to talk to the president and to others in the administration, had a long meeting with Nikki Haley. I give Caitlyn a little more leeway than you do. I think her heart's in the right place, but...
If she only had a brain, and I'm just going to say it, her heart... But everything, she doesn't listen to anybody. There are lots of people who tried to school her in these issues.
And
she still comes away saying, she said on The View, we have our problems here and our issues here, but if you look on the international basis, they chop my head off in some countries. Well, that's true. But, what are the problems?
Could happen here, too.
What are the problems here, Caitlin? You need to address that. And this is a hell of a way to conduct foreign policy for Nikki Haley, who they had never met before, apparently. And they're also not telling us what they discussed.
Well, which leads me to Don Trump Jr.
Oh.
Speaking of brain and, how to run a government.
He's very unhappy. He's miserable, apparently, at this point.
Donnie Jr.?
Donnie Jr. is miserable. Can't wait till this is over.
And he can go back
the whole
to
presidency
big
thing.
Game hunting?
The whole presidency
Well, I think there's been some confusion around this meeting that I feel compelled to
Let's put people on track of what we're talking about. This is a meeting during the campaign in June, I believe, when the president had wrapped up the nomination.
Yes.
And he invited, it sounded like only one Russian, but it turns out to be, about 20.
Well, here's what I want people to understand, because they keep throwing out this adoption thing and casting scorn on it. But it's a real thing.
Yes.
The Russians have an agenda. Their agenda is get rid of the Magnitsky Act, that imposed sanctions on Russia. Over
the Ukraine, I believe, right?
No, over the killing of the lawyer. Magnitsky.
That's right.
And the guy he was working for, the American, went to Congress after Magnitsky was killed by Putin and said, you have to impose sanctions on Russia because they murdered Magnitsky.
Which makes me understand why Trump and Trump Jr. go along with the Russians, because they don't want to die.
Well, Putin freaked out about the Magnitsky Act, and he wants nothing so much as to have that disappear. Yes. That's one of his top agenda items.
But the word that they don't use in most of these things is it's about sanctions. If they would say sanctions and not adoption.
Well, they say it a little, but they're not clear enough. So when
they want sanctions lifted.
When the U.S. Congress passed the Magnitsky Act, and Putin threw a fit about it, his retaliation was to forbid U.S. adoptions of Russian children.
Yes.
Specifically, ill Russian children who were being adopted by U.S. Parents to come here for medical treatment. And he said, no, the end.
Yes.
So the Russian Putinites scheme and plot and say, all right, we're going to try to get Trump to lift the sanctions and screw the Magnitsky Act. How are we going to get a meeting with them? We're going to get a meeting with them by saying, we have the info on Hillary. We're going to slip you the info on Hillary. So they go to they get the meeting. Don says, oh, great, I love this. They go to the meeting, all of them, all the nefarious characters we're learning more about every day, and they say, well, you know, we have a little info, but not really a lot of info, and the Trump people say,
this is a nothing burger.
This is a nothing burger, and they say, well, you know, really what you should be interested in is not just Hillary, but this poor situation with adoption. And, you know, the president loves the beautiful children. That's why he bombed Syria, because he really cares about the children. And we really would like to be able to open up adoption again for U.S. parents. And Don says, really? And
how do you know all this?
Because I know the actual issue. But really, they're sitting there and saying, adoption, we don't care about adoption. That's why Kushner's just looking at his phone or Manafort, and they leave the meeting because they don't care about adoption. And the Russians have tried to get in their good graces by talking about this, but really they don't care. And so they try to talk about the Magnitsky Act, and these people don't know what they're talking about.
So you don't buy that most of the meetings between the Trump crime family and the Russians is about business and about their business deals and all those things. And
I think that's what
the president.
I think there's a lot of that talk going around, but I think this particular meeting was the Russians trying to get rid of the Magnitsky Act, trying to do it by claiming they had Hillary info, trying to do it by saying we'll lift the adoption ban, and getting nowhere because these bozos don't know anything about any of that.
And you don't think that there are something is going to come out about other meetings that Jared had with the Russian hackers he was in control of the online stuff for the campaign, and they fed into the Russian effort to spread fake news.
I think there were tons of meetings about that.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm trying to put into perspective the fact that there really was an adoption issue that the Russians tried to talk to these bozos about, but the bozos don't care about adoption. They should care about it, but they don't.
Right.
And so they walked out of the meeting. Ed called it a nothing burger.
Okay. Well,
that's all.
I mean, Robert Mueller, we await further findings.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Are we done with that?
Well, the U.S. State Department is looking to close the War Crimes Office.
Oh, yes.
And this certainly would affect us. But I have to say, what was the point of having a war crimes office if you weren't going to prosecute George W. Bush and Donald Rumsfeld for the illegal wars in the Middle East, et cetera?
Yeah.
If that's not a war crime, if those weren't war crimes, and look at what has happened to the world as a result of what we let them do. Oh, yeah, we did go out and protest for a little while, but not enough. Look what's happened in the Middle East. Just look at the pictures of misery in Syria and in Iraq.
Horrible.
And I guess they want to start a war with Iran too now.
Yes. You know, again, the national security advisors talked Trump into recertifying the nuclear deal, but then he went around them and just imposed other sanctions because he's an idiot.
And talking about what agencies can do to us in the absence of congressional action, because of who's in charge at HHS now, it's the woman Valerie Huber, who was head of the National Abstinence Education Association. They have just gutted $214 million from teen pregnancy programs across the country, and saying Obama was not interested enough in abstinence, and he did give a lot of money to abstinence, but that's what's happened. So they're going to lose their money, and we'll have a Trump bump in pregnancies in this country.
So to speak. All right. Can we move on to other stuff?
We can. I mean, with state stuff, I guess we should talk about Texas, because they just started their 30-day session, which was called mainly by the lieutenant governor, but by the governor, ostensibly.
There's a great long piece in The New Yorker that
yes.
I just finished reading that really lays it all out, all the players, all the personalities, all the issues. A really, really great comprehensive piece how the Texas legislature works.
Well, it's gotten extremely horrible, but the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who's a far right winger, wants this anti-transgender legislation passed. And the only line of resistance is the House Speaker, a guy named Joe Strauss, mm-hmm. who was more business-oriented, and he's been warned by IBM and all these other companies that say, we're not putting up with this. I hope they're not going to put up with it.
Well,
but you could always do a North Carolina compromise and come back.
Well, Strauss has done a great job of foiling the right wing to some extent so far. I don't know how he can continue to control that, but he sounds like a good guy.
We do have a picture of the governor with a transgender activist.
This is Governor Abbott.
Yes.
A trans activist, Ashley Smith, there on the right. Got herself a little selfie with the governor, supposedly without him knowing that she was trans, an attempt to embarrass him.
And one of the people who was announced to oppose Abbott is Dallas businessman Jeffrey Payne, who runs the Dallas Eagle and is very involved with the LGBT community, is openly gay, and a former Mr. International Leather.
Well, it'd be great if he were elected. I cannot imagine.
Jesse Ventura in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people get so fed up with what's going on, they say,
sure.
I want some iconoclastic person. I don't care if he likes leather.
I kind of like
leather, too.
That's why we have this president. Meanwhile, though, also in Texas, a transsexual woman who's an engineer is suing the Phillips 66 company because they rescinded a job offer to her.
Well, they gave her the job and everything, and then apparently somebody along the line Googled her and found out that she was transsexual and rescinded the offer. So they
drummed up this excuse about her having
filled out a form wrong.
Yes, and she said it's just a clerical error, but they're using that as the excuse. But she is suing. She is suing first because they have Phillips 66 has a diversity policy. I'm not sure that's legally enforceable, but under the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the prohibition against sex discrimination, because people have been winning suits for gender identity under that law. We'll see whether she can carry that off in Texas.
And I was kind of surprised to see the New York City Commission on Human Rights. Now, you would expect it to be fairly liberal, but they don't generally go after religious groups. And they have gone after discriminatory intake policies for transgender patients, gone after the Salvation Army Adult Rehab Center and Addicts Rehabilitation Center, Promesa Residential Healthcare Facility, and the Thomas and Marie White Health Center in Queens. And these are all politically connected groups.
They're substance abuse treatment centers, and they're accused of some of them rejecting transgender clients outright and
wanting to assign them to rooms based on their birth gender rather than who they are.
Right.
So that's a sign of progress.
Yeah.
by the way, and related to all these issues, in Ohio, two Ohio abortion providers had to close their doors this past month. They get piled on. This is Governor John Kasich, you know, who was touted as some kind of like moderate or reasonable person, but he's very anti-choice, and this is what's happening there. And soon there'll be just no place that people, women, can get abortions.
In Idaho, BYU Idaho, Brigham Young University, Idaho, has fired a pro-LGBT teacher, Ruthie Robertson, because she posted something on her Facebook account supporting the LGBT community during Pride Month.
Take it back. Take it back. Don't you know where our church stands? That's what basically she
was told. Well, they supposedly had a free speech policy, but she was quite sharp in her revelation of the misdeeds of the Mormon Church in relation to LGBT people. So she's been fired.
Okay.
And a former very prominent evangelical Christian leader, Eugene Peterson, and best-selling author, said in an interview recently that he was asked whether he would perform a same-sex marriage, and he said, sure. And then the proverbial you-know-what hit the fan, and he was verbally assaulted all over the place, and he retracted.
Never mind.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't realize it would upset people.
That woman who's been suing Planet Fitness out there in Michigan over, you know, being upset by a transgender person in the woman in the locker room is appealing her decision to the state's highest court because she's been losing.
In Berkeley, California, the National Center for Lesbian Rights is working with a lesbian client who's suing a therapist, I put that in quote marks, who took $70,000 from her over 8 years, continually harassing her to change, a conversion therapy attempt.
Now this is an interesting case because she's not a minor. I mean, when we pass these laws against conversion therapy, it's about people under 18 and under, or under 18. So it'll be interesting to see if they can prove fraud and all that kind of stuff with this. But the person sounds like a terrible, terrible therapist.
Yes.
Abusive.
Yes.
You know.
Extremely, really.
Let your hair grow.
And yelling at her in group therapy sessions.
It's just terrible.
All right. Let's.
Okay. Where do you want to go?
I want to go to Cumberland, Maryland, where they had their first Pride celebration.
We have a picture of this.
We have a picture and.
The sign says, but this little girl, it says, I'm not gay, but my moms are. But the interesting thing is this was their first Pride celebration, and they had 1,000 people in a town with a population of fewer than 21,000 people in Western Maryland.
Very, very nice. Savannah, Georgia has opened an LGBT community center providing various services. Congratulations to them.
And congratulations to Scott France. He's a Kansas State tackle. He has come out. There's a picture of him. How did he come out? Well, they're having some session with the players where whoever was running the sessions...
The coach.
...said, I want you to divulge something about yourself that nobody knows. And he said... I'm gay. And then he said, look, I came out to my teammates. I never felt so loved and accepted in my life, and it's great, and I'm happy now. That's a dicey little exercise there. You don't know what can come out.
And this was to about 100 teammates. This was not just, you know, a small team meeting. This was like all the
It was an opportunity for them. Because you know what some of these celebrities say when you ask them, but, you know, why did you take so long to come out? Nobody ever asked me. They do. I would have said.
And I don't know if any of you watch the show Queen Sugar on the Oprah Winfrey Network but there's a new character there, a trans cop. And the actor who plays the cop, Brian Michael Smith, has just come out as trans himself.
Great.
And he on the show, he's treated very positively and supportively by his old high school friend who discovers this about him.
And I don't know if any of you are members of the Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin, but you can get same-sex married now. It is the apparently around the 21st tribe to do so out of about 566 in the country. They have their own laws around marriage and things like that. And so we are making progress there.
Interesting case from Orlando, Florida,
yes,
where a cop who was involved in the aftermath of the massacre at the Pulse nightclub and who suffers from post-traumatic stress has won a lifetime disability pension that the city opposed.
They said, give him a chance to get better.
Hasn't had enough therapy, hasn't tried hard enough or whatever.
He's 37. I mean, he had to deal with, I mean, you know, as did others, but, I mean, you know, removing the 49 bodies from the place and all that kind of stuff. You know, so he is going to get
his disability
pension.
And Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts has introduced something called the Refund Equality Act to give tax refunds to same-sex married couples who are married under some particular circumstances at a particular time. I don't entirely understand it, but she's trying to equalize benefits.
International news.
Sure.
Start out with a celebration in Malta, we've been telling you. They have to go through a lot of readings. There they are, celebrating. We made history. Has joined 14 other European countries in legalizing same-sex marriage. It was almost unanimous. There was one dissent. The interesting thing is that the prime minister said, this is not going to be a conscience vote. We campaigned on this. We're going to vote for it. We're going to have it. He let this one guy off the hook, but
in Taiwan, Taipei city employees are getting some early marriage and paternity leave benefits. The country has been ordered to legalize same-sex marriage within the next 2 years. But in anticipation of that, they're starting to make some changes and give some benefits.
This is the first local government there to do so. And, of course, it's a big one, Taipei.
But in Singapore, authorities have arbitrarily voided marriage of a couple when the husband transitioned and it has proclaimed female gender. So now it's two women who are married, and Singapore acknowledges transgender people and is okay with that, but is not okay with a same-sex marriage. So if she had transitioned and married a man, that would have been okay, but since she was already married to a woman...
Well, this is
no.
This is sort of fascinating because I can't think of a time in the United States where someone has transitioned who was married to and then they voided the marriage or tried to void the marriage.
Well, there was a time in Texas when different counties had different rules about that. And if you were married in one county, it was okay. And if you were married in another county, it wasn't.
Let me just talk to you out there. people who are trying to put us into all these different boxes, do you see how silly it is? And can you please stop? So that people can get along. All they wanted to do was, they're a married couple, they wanted to apply for subsidized housing, and then you gave them all this kind of trouble.
Well, tell it to the government of Israel, where the government is arguing against legalizing adoption by gay couples. They say it provides extra difficulties for the child. Two dads had gone to court to ask for legalization, and the government weighed in with its contrary opinion.
Up until now, it says, Israeli individuals in same-sex relationships were able to adopt children only if no heterosexual couples were interested in the children. Actually, that's something that Mike Dukakis imposed on Massachusetts right before he ran for president to show how tough he was on the gays. It was his sister soldier moment before there was a sister soldier moment.
Sad, horrifying story out of Germany. A Serbian gay couple who were refugees, living in a refugee camp or setup of some kind in Germany, were attacked and beaten almost to death in the refugee camp. They were treated and then returned to the same camp.
It's insane. absolutely insane.
Yes, it is.
I thought there was, well, and this is in Germany, yeah, where I thought there was more accommodation. But better news, well, as long as we're on violence, there's the beating of the Honduran activist, David
Valle.
He was beaten and stabbed in his own home.
Yeah. Somebody just rang the doorbell one night, and when he answered the door, came in and beat the hell out of him and stabbed him almost to death.
But elsewhere in Honduras, hundreds of LGBTQ people celebrated Pride in San Pedro Sula, despite...
Even though there were protesters shooting guns in the air next to the Pride parade.
Boy. And,
well, Honduras is just notoriously one of the most violent places,
yes,
on earth.
And Indonesia is going to continue caning gay people, but maybe not in public. Is that the deal now?
Yes. Because they were getting bad publicity for caning gay men in public.
So it's very popular.
Well, the crowds were very happy. They showed up in droves. But worldwide publicity was against it. So they're going to keep doing it, but behind closed doors now.
Speaking of monsters, there's Ramzan Kadyrov. This is the leader of Chechnya, and of all things, he was on Real Sports on HBO.
I watched it. You can watch it. It's available on demand.
And so he's asked, about the whole thing with the persecution of gay people, and you have to hear this quote. We don't have those kind of people here. We don't have any gays. If there are any, take them to Canada. Praise to God. Take them far from us so we don't have them at home to purify our blood if there are any here. Take them. They are devils. They are for sale. They are not people. And a spokesman for the Kremlin commented and saying, well, there's nothing unusual about that statement.
That was really shocking.
And our Secretary of State will not speak out about it. You can get minor things out of the State Department from the spokespeople. Oh, that's concerning, blah, 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 blah,
We've
blah.
Asked for an investigation.
Yeah, so that's what Putin said.
Yeah, I have to say that the Real Sports reporter who was conducting this interview was pretty good. And he started, the ostensible reason for the president of Chechnya to be on Real Sports, the Bryant Gumbel HBO show, was because they have... He's made a huge investment in mixed martial arts as the road to world domination for Chechnya. And so they were investigating all of that. But then he sits down and he's interviewing the president and he talks about that. And then he asks about the beatings and killings of gay men. And the president says, ah, now we see. Now we get why you're here. Here are these questions. Okay. And then he launches into this stuff. And it was pretty scary, of course. But the reporter stood his ground and kept asking questions and probing it. But this guy is very, very scary.
Yeah. I mean, he's not ashamed of his bigotry like Jeff Sessions, who has to, you know, make you fight to get the texts of his speeches.
Well, and I'm sorry to report that the International Soccer Federation is failing in its attempt to get the Puto chant by Mexican fans and similar ones by others eradicated from the grandstands.
It's a traditional value for them.
Well, soccer fans have been violent and crude for a long time and have...
If they're not killing each other.
From England and other countries all over. But the Soccer Federation had said, oh, yes, we're going to deal with this. We're going to fine people. We're going to eradicate this. No, the fans are saying, the hell with you. We're going to do what we want to do. And they are. Well, and until someone throws them out of the stadium, it's going to keep happening.
There were thousands of protesters against Pride in Seoul, South Korea. And we do have a picture of this. The Pride parade events grew from 50,000 to 85,000 this year. Embassies from 13 countries, including the United States and the United Kingdom, were represented, up booths to raise awareness and support gay rights and to sell goods.
So this is
maybe
why
they were
think...
selling Ivanka's clothing line or something, which is probably made in South Korea.
No, China.
All right.
And just a little footnote, we were charmed by this picture from Britain of a young gay couple getting married, the first Muslim same-sex wedding in Britain, in Walsall, One of them is from Bangladesh, I guess the guy on the right. And they were married at the registry office. They didn't have a religious ceremony.
You're not allowed, I don't think you're allowed to have a... Well, you can, but I mean... You
it's
get
not
married,
the legal
I mean,
way.
Prince Charles had to go to the registry office.
Okay, so for, they
with
did.
Camilla.
They look very happy.
But the big news from the United Kingdom is the... We didn't do this last week.
No.
This British man, he won a tremendous legal battle there to get an equal... A pension. Now, they put a loophole into the... When they did same-sex marriage, they said if you paid into the pension fund before December of 2005, when they did domestic civil partnerships, you don't get that money. So if you're gay and you get married... His partner's 65. His partner's only going to get $1,000 a year. But if he had married a woman, she would have gotten £45,000 a year. So he won this case using the European Union's laws,
right,
which are still in effect for the moment in
until
Britain.
Brexit takes effect, in which case... the British may not have the same kind of protection of the European laws.
Well, there is a bill in Parliament to adopt those laws under the European Union that have already...
Do you think Brexit's going to be killed?
It would be a smart thing to do, I think. Something that only passed by about 3 points, 4 points, that is, is ripping the nation apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they had the chance to vote for it again, they would. I think, given the precariousness of the Theresa...
They would vote for Brexit.
They would vote against Brexit, I think.
Oh. Well, I
think. I mean, that's what the polls say.
Maybe,
but
not.
The polls said that Hillary was going to win. And she did, kind of. But she didn't win the election.
Not enough.
And on London Transport... Now, they are no longer going to say, ladies and gentlemen, they're just going to say, hello, everyone, which is kind of what they do when they do the weather on the BBC. They say, hello there. They don't say, ladies and gentlemen. And this was fought for by...
gender rights activists.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
AIDS news?
Well, an Ohio appeals court has upheld the conviction of HIV-positive Jeffrey Boatwright, a gay man who was convicted of not disclosing. It's a very long, complicated story.
Well, the contention is that he lied to his sex partner and others about whether he knew he was HIV-positive. And a lot of the testimony was from people who said, I told him he was HIV positive,
right,
or I sent him letters, or I told him in person.
He had had his blood. He found out by having his blood tested.
Yeah,
and he says I avoided getting that announcement and all this kind of stuff. But it's all about HIV criminalization.
Yes. On the one hand, do I think he's a liar? Absolutely.
Yes.
But do I think HIV transmission should be criminalized?
Right.
No.
I mean, and the guy who he was with did become infected with HIV.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a lot of these cases, they haven't even transmitted the infection. But lying isn't good. But that's a lesson to everybody that you're meeting someone who's already with another guy and you're just fooling around with him. And then he says, oh, don't worry, I'm clean. Use a condom.
Yeah, exactly. Or practice safe sex in a way that doesn't risk transmission.
And the Trump cuts that are proposed on AIDS are just gargantuan. $50 million into this, eliminate the Secretary Minority AIDS Fund.
I am heartened by
Ryan White.
$610
billion from Medicaid.
Yeah.
They're going to try to do it through the budget process, but they haven't been able to do in the health bill.
That's true. So we must remain vigilant, and we must stay on board with this stuff. You know, I debate with my friends whether we want Trump impeached or not, and I'm very leery of putting Mike Pence in power because I think he'll have an easier time passing all this stuff.
Although he had a very bad week. But he was the one out there getting agitated about the bill. We have to do this. And I watched him and I thought...
He's scared of Trump.
I watched that people were not responding to him.
Yeah.
He's not a good leader. I mean, Mike Pence was such a jerk over the gay stuff in Indiana.
Yeah.
He failed so miserably in that he lost any chance of running for president himself. He was the Koch brothers' picked candidate.
Yes.
And then he couldn't run. And, of course, we've always said they want to get him in there. But he had a really bad week in terms of his performance. He's not a very bright guy.
He's not, but it's all relative. And how does he look next to Trump as a leader?
Well, I've come around to your view, which is that having Trump in there, even though we're all nervous about his finger on the button, and we are about World War III. But he is such a negative for the Republican Party that defeating them in 2018, he's kind of needed almost.
Look, it's a disaster no matter which one of them is in office, and just the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch is such a disaster across the board, and they're only multiplying that everywhere else, and they're going to do more of that, and so I'd like them all to disappear yesterday. But if we're going to have to keep living with this for a while, at least he is such a screw-up and so easily discerned as a monster that I think that's probably the best.
And even though we're basically in despair, we urge you not to be. No, especially at the local level.
I play golf. I watch TV. It keeps me going.
And come here full of information.
Yes.
Well, I think we'd better be careful about going to entertainment news and starting off with assassins.
Well, I was a little...
We did finally see Stephen Sondheim's Assassins,
yeah,
which has been around for a while. Now, this was at...
I've always wanted to see it.
This was at City Center's Encore's Off Center, so there's only a few performances and they're over. But they had a great cast for this, and it's all about the people... the malcontents, mostly, they are portrayed as, who have taken shots at presidents over the years. Some successfully, like John Wilkes Booth.
Some not, like Squeaky Frome.
And Sarah Jane Moore.
Yeah. Who, Sarah Jane Moore, played by Victoria Clark.
Correct.
Absolutely stole the show. Completely hilarious. You wouldn't have thought that assassinating the president would be funny, but she was... Fantastic.
Well, but they were the gang that couldn't shoot straight. I mean,
yes.
Squeaky Frome, you know, wanted to shoot Gerald Ford, so that there would be a trial for her where Charles Manson could speak her leader.
Well, I went in thinking this is going to be a little too in the age of Trump, but it turned out by the end of the show, which I really liked. Not 100%, but 90%. I at the end of the show, I thought shooting the president was a bad idea.
Well, look what happened with Lincoln. You got Andrew Johnson. Look what happened with Kennedy. Well, LBJ did some good things and some terrible things.
Yeah.
I was most impressed with a guy who played sort of the narrator, and he did commentary.
Oh, he was great.
An young African-American actor. I hadn't heard of him, but a beautiful singer and actor named Clifton Duncan. And I think this guy's going to be a star.
He was terrific.
Yeah.
But I was glad to finally see it. I've seen most Sondheim shows over the years. Some I've liked, some I haven't. But I had never caught this,
no.
And it was a missing moment in my...
And the City Center Encores is going to have a bunch more shows. They're doing The Bubbly Black Girl Sheds Her Chameleon Skin later this month, and Really Rosie in August. And
Rosie is a very, very charming score. It's a little girl, but it's Maurice Sendak, unless I've lost my mind.
He's
I'll look
gay.
It up. Well, he was. Yes.
And later in the year...
Wonderful music in
later
Rosie.
In the year, they are bringing... Matthew Bourne's adaptation of The Red Shoes as a dance piece. And I saw that in London at Christmas time. It's terrific. Using the music of Bernard Herrmann, who does all the Alfred Hitchcock scores.
Yeah.
Well, I guess speaking of Alfred Hitchcock, maybe we should segue to Martin Landau.
Okay.
Who died this week at the age of 89. And why are we talking about him? Because we all remember him from North by Northwest, which was his breakthrough role, where he's the assistant to James Mason. They're the sort of the nefarious forces there against the Americans. And he says, I decided to play this guy as gay, as in love with my boss. Now, it's not in the script.
Doesn't look like love in that picture.
Ernest Lehman, who wrote the script, said... I didn't write it that way, but I get, now looking at the film, I guess so.
But it's like Ben-Hur.
But the character he played, Leonard, refers to my women's, call it my women's intuition, you know? And James Mason says, you're jealous of Eve, you know, of Eva Marie Saint, aren't you? His lover, who turned out to be an American double agent. This is the movie with Cary Grant, of course, but... Martin Landau, I like Martin Landau. I mean, Crimes and Misdemeanors is what he should have won the Oscar for, but he won it for supporting actor for Ed Wood. And of course, Mission Impossible.
And, you know, these days I feel that we are everywhere in virtually every TV show. But not all of them. But Daytime Divas, the Star Jones, based on the Star Jones book about the novelization of The View. So now Daytime Divas is a daytime talk show run by Vanessa Williams in the Barbara Walters character role. Yes.
I like Vanessa Williams.
Yep. Well, she's sort of a hero villain on this. So they lost one of their panelists. They've been having guest panelists. So Janet Mock has been sitting in recently. And the right wing, the sort of Elizabeth Hasselbeck character, the right wing young blonde Christian, has a trans kid.
Oh.
A boy who likes to wear dresses and considers himself feminine and seems to be transitioning. And she's been struggling with this, but she wants to be supportive. And so she gets on air with Janet Mock and starts drilling her with questions. Nobody else knows this. And then makes some crack about real women as opposed to you, Janet Mock, and everybody freaks out, and then she reveals she has this trans kid. And this is all happening, you know, on...
Lori and Matt Duran have never been ashamed of having a gender nonconforming son who's 10 years old, and they posted a picture, and there they are. And the actor James Woods, who's a right-wing Trump supporter, said, "This is sweet. Wait until the poor kid grows up, realizes what you've done, and stuffs both of you dismembered into a freezer in the garage," which is about as hateful as you can get. The whole world took him on. Then he tries to say, "Oh, come on, I got more gay friends than Liberace." I don't remember Liberace having a lot of gay friends. I don't remember Liberace being out, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But what he needs to read is, what you need to read is, Sparkle Boy. This is the new book by Leslea Newman, who wrote Heather Has Two Mommies.
Yeah.
And it's all, do you know about the book?
No.
It's all about Sparkle Boy likes all of his older sister's things. She's not that old. She's a couple of years older.
Uh-huh.
And just keeps wearing all her things. And the adults in the thing are all very encouraging. The sister's a little nervous about it. But she comes around in the end. Oh, I gave it away. Well, it's a very short book. But anyway, Sparkle Boy. For James Woods,
okay.
For his reading list.
Why don't you send it to him?
Okay.
Next year, 2018, will be Gay Games 10 in Paris, France. Do you think Trump will go to that?
He likes Paris.
Yeah, he likes Macron.
I'm a little worried about Macron. He's his military guy. He just quit over being disrespected by him.
Yeah.
Because Macron came into a meeting with the leaders and said, "There is civilian control here. I'm in charge." And this guy didn't like that, so we could have a little...
Macron showed up at the Tour de France this week.
Yeah?
Rode along in a car next to the bicycles.
I think he better watch his back. I saw assassins.
Yeah. Well, nonetheless, Gay Games 10 will take place next year in Paris, and there's an informational meeting about it this weekend on Sunday, July 23rd, at the LGBT Community Center here in New York from 4 to 6 p.m. So if you have any interest in finding out about next year's Gay Games in Paris, and having helped organize the Gay Games here in New York in 1994, I can tell you it was a fantastic experience. And everyone who does it loves it. Go to the center Sunday, 4 p.m. for that informational meeting.
And by the way, I did see another play this week, just for the heck of it, at the Atlantic Theater, too, called Pity and History, about the English Civil War, the whole Cromwell thing. He's not in it. It's just the small story of, you know, average people involved in the war. And I like that very much, and that's running till August 6th. Atlantic Theater 2.
What's it called?
Pity in History. You know, the Cromwell people were like, you know, let's tear down all the statues, let's, you know, go over the arts, we're all for Christ, you know, so it's good.
Okay.
And I guess we're out of time.
And
it's been very nice to be with you, and thank you for being with us, and we hope we have even more good news next week.
That would be nice. See you then.